she chooses God to blame. No. It is like, you know, when we do not find any proper exact reason for our plight, whom do we blame? Government, is it not? It is because of this government these things are happening. And we always say government should do this, the government should do that. Why the government is not doing anything in this matter? So everything is just blamed on government. And God is the supreme governor, as you can say. And the whole universe, this government, you have the city government, the state government, the federal government, but then there is the God's universal government. That so everything is to be then blamed on God. So she writes, because of these struggles, God is not nice. This is not fair. He has trapped us here to please himself or herself. Because it is described, you know, that it is all play of God. So God is playing for his or her amusement. And so we are trapped for that. He has answers to justify all his actions. He is right and we are fools. And we are to be blamed. At the same time, he is making us do everything. I love him, but I don't like the way he has trapped us. I know all this is foolish, but I am ignorant. I am not happy. I am tired. Tired of being scared of so many things. Tired of keeping watch over my unruly mind. Tired of taking notice of my mistakes every day. I can get rid of the idea of doership. I can't get rid of the idea of doership. I am not able to surrender. I am very tired. I want some rest from this struggle, but it is dragging me. So it is a very telling, sincerely written email. I am bringing it out because, see, this is a stage in spiritual progress that one feels that in spite of my attempts, there is something that keeps on dragging me down, and how to deal with this. Now the answer, that is the one answer, is fight. Keep on fighting, never give up. In fact, you will not be able to give up if you really love God, or you really love, if we don't like the word God, our ideal. If we love God, then we will not be able to give up. We will have to continue with curses to God, blaming God. It is all right, even if we blame God, you know. Isn't that a remembrance of God, at least? So at least for the sake of blaming, we will be remembering God. So it is, that is the one way that is described. Keep on doing it. Keep on relentlessly, tirelessly, without any reason to stop. You keep on doing it. Do not just give up. Keep on making the efforts. And while doing it, try to look over the shoulders of the problem. Try to look over that. We saw it last time. What it means is, all these difficulties are also visible. We can perceive them because of God's reality. It is, this book is the cloud of unknowing. And cloud covers the reality. But how are we able to see the cloud? And that also is because of the light of the reality. We see the clouds now, If there are, I mean, there may not be any in the skies right now, but it is, if there are clouds, how do we spot the clouds? Because for seeing them also, the light of sun is necessary. They may be covering the sun, but yet we are able to see them because of the light of sun. So even these difficulties are possible to be perceived as difficulties only because we are struggling to realize God. It is the, if we are not struggling, we will not be able to see these difficulties either. It is our struggle to realize God that makes us perceive the difficulties. It is like this, that when we are trying to swim against the current in a river, then we feel the force of the current. If we are going along the current, then we do not feel the force of the current. It is while if we are in the world and going along the ways of the world, we will not feel any kind of that struggle to take us beyond, because we are not making any attempt. It is only the kids who are going to school and want to, you know, pass exams and go higher and higher in their studies. They have to study, you say. Those who do not want to pass any exam, and they don't need to study, okay, you don't want to go ahead, then what can be done? I had that attitude also, you know, that what is there, you know, to study? Let me just continue playing and study. What do I get by studying? Nothing. But when you see that no, God is the reality and the truth, the source of all that you need, then it is that you feel that you need to struggle. So therefore, try to look over these clouds. Try to look over these difficulties, and then that will give us the strength, the courage to continue with this struggle. That is a very, very important something. So this is one method, that keep the ideal inside, and then looking at the ideal, keep on going forward and forward. There is a nice incident in the life of Swami Vivekananda, a very inspiring incident. He was climbing a hill in Himalayas, going on, and the Himalayas, that as the hills are such that you feel, okay, I have to climb up to that, and you keep on climbing. And then when you reach the point that you thought is the summit, you see, well, that is the beginning of the other next mountain that you need to climb. So he got, after a while, so tired and thought that can't go anymore, and was feeling very sad and depressed. Swami Vivekananda, imagine, you know, not what to speak of people like us. Swami Vivekananda was feeling tired and frustrated. And then as he was feeling this, he saw an older sadhu, older monk, walking behind him. And he approached and told him, look behind, you know, look back. All this climb, all this mountain has come under your feet. You started from there, and all this is, this has come under your feet. So keep on going. This also will come under your feet. So Let us keep that kind of faith and keep on our efforts. The second important idea, and that is, we read it last time but did not discuss much about it, and that is, when you feel that you are altogether unable to press down your thoughts, cower beneath them. Means just surrender. And this is the idea of flight. It is just as Vivekananda said in one of his letters, that sometimes I fight and sometimes I take a flight. So, cowering when the difficulties are so mounting and you feel your strengths are not at all there to fight, they are too overwhelming. It seems that you are pushed against the wall. You can't fight anymore. You can't do anything more. Like the story of a man, he was appearing for some interviews in a big manager's post. And then naturally in that interview they were asking some very tough questions, that if you find yourself in such a situation, what will you do? And so one questioner asks that, it is, suppose you are in a forest and then suddenly a tiger appears and you have no space to run away, no possibility of running away, and then what are you now going to do? And the person was not answering, and the questioner again pressed the question, why you are quiet, why are you not telling, what will you do in this situation? And he told, well, as you describe the situation, it is only tiger that has something to do. I have nothing to do in this situation. Now it is only the tiger who can do anything. I cannot do anything. So this is a cowering under. Okay, I have no role to play here. I have done everything possible that I could. And then this method of surrender, that, oh Lord, I did my best, I still cannot conquer my mind, it is too unruly, so please now you do whatever you want and surrender. Now he said, but this method needs to be utmost sincerity and caution needs to be applied, because there is our human mind, that we will see that this is one of the methods that is given by the Cloud of Unknowing, a great book. So why put in efforts, just say, and that, no, I surrender, and that's it. Why keep on putting in efforts, meditation and all that? What, Richard, isn't it an effort that I have to do, come to Vedanta Society, drive so many miles, and then after that nothing much is happening, so let me just surrender, and that will take care, God will take care of everything, and no need for further prayers or meditations or all so-called spiritual practices, let me just surrender. So this is what a person may feel, that this looks, sounds a good method, just surrender. After all, what happens through our efforts? It is God who does everything. So let me just surrender, that's it. So it gives a scope for the cheating mind to avoid working. It should therefore never become an excuse for lazy indolent mind to justify undisciplined behavior. I have surrendered to God, now I have nothing to do, I do whatever I like to do. So this could just creep in. So therefore it should not be done, it should be done only as a complementary thing with all efforts. Yes, I have put in all efforts and now I surrender to you. There should not be insincerity about it. It should be done with full sincerity that I have done all efforts. Efforts should not be stopped, but this feel of surrender should be practiced then, that I cannot do any more than this. This feeling should be there, that I did everything possible, no more is possible. With great that feeling of sadness and the feeling of this request, that seeking the help, the prayers come, O Lord, now I have put in all my efforts, I can't do anything, please take me out of this, it is up to you now, whatever you do. It is that kind of surrender comes then. Here I am reminded about the incident in Sri Ramakrishna's life with a wonderful devotee, a dramatist, Bengali playwright and director. He is considered the father of a Bengali theater, Girish Chandra Ghosh. Now he came to Sri Ramakrishna to seek an advice. Sri Ramakrishna knew his life, that it was far from anything that we would call spiritual. He sometimes has said, we should not take it too literally, but he said, I have not left any sin uncommitted. Every sin in the world I have committed. So it is, he used to get dissolve himself many times in liquor, and many other things were there in his life, but he was a determined person, very sincere person, truthful person. So he comes to Sri Ramakrishna, and Sri Ramakrishna asked him, okay, you should not much to be done, but during morning and evening, two times a day, you try to pray to God a little bit with sincere heart. Pray to God. Can you do that? Girish saw that, well, it is too much, you know, when the morning comes, goes, all this. So he kept quiet. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And Sri Ramakrishna understood that it is too much that has been asked. So he asked then, okay, if that is not possible, at least, you know, before you go to bed, think of God and go to bed. That it is, at least you can do that much, that think of God and go to bed. Anybody would think that Girish should say yes to it, but Girish was not even ready to say yes. Remember, he was sincere, and if he would say yes, he thought then he will have to do it, and not just saying yes and forgetting it, remaining for the remainder of the life. Saying yes means he has to do it. And he saw that where he sleeps, in what state is he sleeping, maybe he is inebriated completely. When they remembering the name of God, how difficult it will be. And so he again kept quiet. And then Sri Ramakrishna understood that too and said, okay, do one thing. Just give me your power of attorney. Give me the power of attorney. And then Girish thought, that sounds simple. That it is, let me give the power of attorney to Sri Ramakrishna. So I will not have to do any specific spiritual thing. He is there to take care of me. Somebody have a case pending in the court. Now what is happening in the court, this, that, has many other things to do. No time, no energy, and not even knowledge as to how to deal with those things. So, goes to that attorney at law's office and then signs a power of attorney. On my behalf, you take care of all these things. Now, if you sign this power of attorney, now you have no choice. That whatever that attorney, your attorney is going to do, that's your choice. You cannot say, no, that is not to be done. It is the power of attorney has been given already. So, Sri Ramakrishna took the power of attorney of Girish. And then one day, as it happened, Girish said something, oh, I will do this and I should do that. Sri Ramakrishna, who are you to say? You have given me power of attorney. Girish saw that actually now his whole life is being controlled by Sri Ramakrishna. Unknowingly, he is being transformed. Because he has given power of attorney to Sri Ramakrishna. So he has been executing that. So this is the power of attorney. That okay, now I cannot fight with it anymore. So I give power of attorney. But there in the biography of Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Sardananda, the biographer, says that it is not easy to give power of attorney. It is not job of an insincere person that, okay, power of attorney, whenever I think it will be yours, otherwise it is mine. No, it is, you have to give it completely. Surrender completely. Your will has to be completely surrendered to God. Then that is possible. And therefore, it has to be done along with intense self-effort. So he says, try to cover under those thoughts with a thick cloud of forgetting, as though they had never existed, neither for you nor for any other man. And if they continue to arise, continue to put them down. As often as they come up, this is the first method that is being told. And then the second method, there is another method, and you may test it if you wish. When you feel that you are altogether unable to press down your thoughts, cower beneath them, cringing as a coward, overcome in battle. Think then that it is foolishness for you to strive any longer with them, and yield yourself therefore to God and in the hands of your enemies. Regard yourself then as one who has been lost forever. take the greatest care in using this method, however, for it seems to me that in applying it, you can melt all things to water. But when this method is correctly conceived, it becomes nothing else than a true knowledge and feeling of yourself as you are, a wretch and a filthy thing for worse than nothing. This knowledge and feeling is meekness. And this meekness results in God Himself coming down with great strength to avenge you on your enemies, to raise you up, and with loving care and dry your spiritual eyes, as father does to his child about to perish at the mouths of wild beasts. So this is how one should do that. Know that I am completely incapable of handling these things. That state has to be there. Feeling, that is the... So therefore, if there is an ego about one's capabilities, naturally this method will not work. Because there is the idea, I can do. Well, then how can you surrender, you know? There is a story that Sri Ramakrishna used to tell, that there was, as per the that anecdotal thing, that Lord Vishnu was just reclining in his resting position, and his consort, divine consort Lakshmi, was massaging his feet, and then suddenly Lord got up to go. What happened? No, one of my devotees is calling me. He is being, somebody has attacked him. So he is praying for my help to rescue him. So therefore I am going there. And then Lord stepped out, so to say, and in a second came back, and Lakshmi asked, well, you went there to save, what happened, why are you back so quickly? He said, well, I went there, I saw that before I could do anything, that person has already picked up a brick to hit the other person, his attacker. So I saw that when that fellow is already fighting, what is the need for me to fight? So the prayers, they do not, the spirit of surrender cannot go with ego. I will do this, I can do this, then the surrender is not possible. Therefore, one must be very careful in this. And that is the part of the next chapter. So that the advice can be given only up to a point. In this, this method, it comes that it is... He says that now it is for you to work it out. I will not tell you of any more methods at this time. If you possess the grace with which to practice these, I am sure that you will be better able to teach me than I am to teach you. This is how they... At one stage, Sri Ramakrishna also used to mention that the mind would become your teacher. Everything, little thing, you don't have to keep on asking. The teacher also does not give too much advice. Okay, now apply your brain, apply whatever has been told to you, and then the next path you will find yourself. And in fact, you can tell me, the guru would tells that, okay, now you can tell me. This is a process of evolution, and so It is, as Sri Ramakrishna would say, well, at one stage, that the boatman is rowing the boat. But then, at one point when the destination is close, stops rowing, brings the oars inside the boat. And then, with the momentum, the boat gets to the shore, or the point where it is to go. So, this is that to say that, well, we want to know a lot of things, but practice nothing. So, know only a few things, but keep on practicing. What we need is to keep on doing it. As we do, the more and more light will start flashing in our lives. And that is what is told here, that carry on then, do the hard labor now, and suffer meekly the pain that is necessary if you are to succeed with these methods. The two methods that have been told, now practice, and then there will be hard work. It is, and you have to do that hard work. As you do, so you will see that the results are coming. And he told that this is like your purgatory. Purgatory is where now you are, it is the known Christian theology says that when a soul is not taken to the heaven, but is not cast into the hell, is still waiting to repudiate all the sins or the venial sins. So it is, then that person is kept in purgatory to get cleaned. So it is not that after the death you will go to purgatory. Right here, a spiritual aspirant is like a purgatory, getting cleaned. It is very important that it is not somewhere after we go, after we die. That it is after we die, not necessarily right here. This is our purgatory. That we are striving and striving, striving, applying these methods, these efforts and surrender. And this surrender has this great efficacy of subduing our ego. The practical utility of surrender is this, that you do not take any credit for whatever progress is being made. It is the grace of God. And so it is the purgatory, that we keep on cleansing ourselves here through these practices. And this is what Vedanta points out, that look, we are divine. It is only because of the ignorance, the dirt is the ignorance, that needs to be cleansed. Not that there is some other actual physical dirt. Ignorance is the dirt. And that is therefore cleansed through knowledge. These practices, they help to usher in the knowledge by this cleansing process. And the aspect that is important here is that of becoming egoless. So, how will I get the grace? Is there a method for it? That after I do this, then I will get the grace. Let us remember, and this has been hinted, we read this during the last class also, that there is no law to grace, that if you do this, then grace will come. It is, suppose I repeat my mantra 5,000 times, then the grace will come. If 5,000 are not enough, if I repeat it, say, 500,000 times, will it come? No guarantee. Will it not come if I not do anything? That also is no guarantee. You may not do anything and still it will come. There is no law, no set rules about grace. That is why it is called grace. Grace, otherwise it is not grace. If it has rules that if you do this, then you will get the grace, then it is not grace, then it becomes something that you rightfully get. You don't have to pray for it. Grace is something that is coming even though you are not deserving it. What makes us deserve the grace? Well, there is nothing that makes you deserve the grace. It is grace. So, it is a very beautiful passage here. Let me read. That it is that He does not give this grace, however, nor take part in this work with any person who is unable to do it. This work that is mentioned here, this work of spiritual advancement, does God do it? Does God remove somebody's sins? Yes and no. Whenever they are removed, it is done by God. That is why what that devotee wrote to me in email. Well, the fellow is good at taking credit. That when there is some advancement, you say, God has done it. And if I am not advancing, then God, not God, you have to be blamed. What is this? So, not fair, she said, therefore that this is not fair. So, but that is how it is, that it is the spiritual aspirant feels that all the progress is the revelation of God. And that is why God is doing it. It is, so it is said that, and yet there is no soul without the grace, for all are capable of it, whether a sinner soul or an innocent soul. It is not given as a reward for innocence, nor is it withheld because of sin. You never know that somebody may appear to be a sinner. Sri Ramakrishna has said a lot about it. There are many stories in Hindu folklore about it. Even there is that very nice story, parable that Jesus tells about the prodigal son. That the son didn't listen to the father, went away after having a quarrel with the father. The other son remained obediently with father, did all the work in the farm and so forth. This son went away. And after quite a few years or so, this son comes back. And then the father becomes so overjoyed to see his son. And then he said, "Oh, wow!" And he greeted him with all love was showered on him. A new this thing, lamb, was cut for to give feast to everybody. And this other son was feeling that anger, indignation, that, and he said that to father, "Father, this fellow quarreled with you and ran away. I had been obediently serving you, but I don't remember you having showered any love on me. I don't remember that you cut this goat to give me a feast like that. What is this? This fellow, he suddenly appears after having, you know, given lot of trouble to you." And the father said, "Well, it is, isn't it that if all my sheep are there and one is lost, my heart will be thinking of the one that is lost, that is not here. So that is how it is. So somebody is sinner and so is not thinking of God. But that doesn't mean God is not thinking of him or her. That is, so how the grace comes, we don't know. But that doesn't mean that, okay, so from tomorrow let me start sinning. That is again no guarantee that it will. What, Heidi, is that the way then? Certainly not, you see, that because that again doesn't guarantee it. So it is not given as reward for innocence. You cannot claim it, you know, look, I have been serving you, O Lord, for so many years. I have been so meticulous in offering prayers. Very good, God would say, that's fine, you did it for, you know, your betterment, it's very good. But you cannot say that why that other fellow got it and not me. Well, that is my choice, you know, and it is, who are you to ask me about it, why you did this and why you didn't do this? It is, God is beyond all bondage. You cannot, suppose you can ask question to God about why you did it, then who is God? Is God answerable to you? He is not answerable to you. It is therefore, it is to be understood. Let me read a little more. That this question also gets asked, then why not me, O God? Why have you not showered grace on me? And look at that fellow didn't do anything and you showered grace on him. Why so? What does it indicate? It indicates that pride. That I have done such and such and such things. So doing that, your pride has gone up. That I am a spiritual aspirant. I have been going to Vedanta. I have been doing the spiritual practices. And so forth. That pride has made us, you know, feel, so therefore I deserve it. No, it is pride that, look, you know, yeah, I have been Swami for so many decades. I have renounced this and renounced that and renounced that. But the cardinal thing is not being renounced, the ego. That is to be renounced. So, and the pride of being a spiritual aspirant or a spiritual person is a very dangerous of all the prides. Thinking of oneself as superior to others, we have, as spiritual aspirants, we should not have such a claim that I am better than others, and that because I have been practicing the name of God. Well, if you practice, that is good for you. In Swami Shivananda Mahapurush Maharaj, one of the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna, when he was president of the order, one of the Swamis there complained that, oh, for so many years I am a Swami and all this, and what has happened, and he was very tired. I have done so much, I have done this, I have given up this, I have done that, so what? So he complained to Swami Shivananda. Actually, he complained through somebody else. He didn't have the courage to go and tell it directly to him. At least that is how the book narrates. So this attendant of Swami Shivananda told that such and such Swami was telling about this, and so he feels all like after doing all this and nothing has come his way, no benefits, only all this drudgery and slugging things. Then Swami Shivananda said, okay, then if he feels that like that, let him stop the struggle, let him stop being a monk, let him become a householder. If he feels that that is if we feel that it is that I have done so much, well, for whom did you do? It is for, you have done it for yourself. It is, why bring in that that as if you have done some great favor to somebody? Is it like that I am taking the name of God to do favor to God? I am praying to God as a favor to God? Let us be, ask this question. Does God need favors from me? Oh God, I am doing worship to you. Look, all these oranges and bananas I am offering to you. As if God doesn't get to eat unless you give, you see. It is silly of us to think in that way, that it is, I have done so much for God. God doesn't care for all that you did. It is for your cleansing, you have done it. Very good. But do not put this pride into that cleansing process. Very important thing. If we do it and start feeling puffed up because of that, that I know I do meditation every day for 2 hours. What do you think of me? Oh, well, better not do the meditation then. It is. So he continues that, beware of pride, for it blasphemes the gifts of God and makes sinners bold. If you are truly meek, your feelings about this work will agree with my statement that God gives it freely without its being merited. Giving of God by God is without any merit. It is too much, too big a thing that you can buy it with some little spiritual practice. You can buy it only with tremendous love, not with, I did this much work for you and I gave so much donations to for your cause, and I had been praying so much for you and I built so many big temples for you. Okay, what do I have to do with it? It is all trash for God, meaningless something. So it is therefore that it is what we receive is not because of our merit. but because of the grace of God. Swami Yatishwarananda, I mentioned that earlier also, that he was a novice, what is called, you know, a brahmachari, means waiting to get the monastic vows. He has been practicing disciplines and would get monastic vows. So he was told by somebody, why don't you ask Swami Brahmananda to give you the monastic vows? You can become a sannyasi. You should ask him. So he went to ask him and said, he mentions, Yatishwarananda mentions it with that characteristic humility, and says that, look, I ask the question like this, or request like this, if you think I am worthy, then please give me the monastic vows. If you think I am worthy, then please give me the monastic vows. And Brahmananda's face became grave, and he said, well, nobody can be considered worthy for getting the monastic vows, but I will give you. It is as a matter of grace, not because you are worthy. Not because of worthy. It is, I told you, we have a period that's like 8 years, 9 years. So 9 years have to be waited before we can apply for monastic vows. So I thought, and like that, and I said to one senior monk, next year I will be eligible for becoming a monk. And he said, oh, stop it. Next year you will be eligible to apply for it. Not to be, that is not within your powers, you see. It is not within your powers. Swami Sivananda, the same Swami, Mahapurush Maharaj, he once told, somebody said that I took initiation from somebody, from I think he was mentioning by Swami Brahmananda. I took initiation from Swami Brahmananda. And Swami Sivananda said, don't say like that. Don't say like that. Nobody can take initiation. Oh my child, it is given. It is given. You get it. Nobody can ever take it. You get it. It is not your worthiness, not a matter that you are wonderful and so you got it. One gets it, you know, out of grace. So that is the matter there, you know. It is, therefore, pride blasphemies the gifts of God. And makes this sinning remorseless. We keep on working against because of the pride. We think that I am right, I am doing everything correctly, and so forth. And thus, one keeps on that same wrong path. Therefore, and this becomes more and more as one keeps on climbing higher and higher on this path, the more chances of pride creep in. It is like you might have seen, you know, when you are driving on a hill, the paths become more and more winding as you go up. It is, and becomes therefore more risky. It is, you will see the speed limits start dropping. That it is, 50 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, like that. You cannot really drive because it is lot of pitfalls there. The road is winding so much. It is, therefore, As we go higher and higher, the chances of fall also become more. So one has to be to exercise a great caution. And then he says, there are methods, however, which a student in contemplation may practice, and these are, and this is what the Vedantic scriptures like Narad Bhakti Sutra also emphasizes, that do not give up these practices at any cost, and then you will be free from these pitfalls of pride. You will always get reminded about it, and that is, these are lesson, means reading the scriptures, following the advice of the saints and so forth, meditation and origin, that is prayers, keep on praying, it is, these things are never to be given up, or you may call them reading, thinking and praying. You shall find these three things described much better than I can in another book by another man. It is therefore not necessary for me here to tell you the details of them. We shall discontinue here. It is a great joy, friends, for me to read this book, for the purpose of giving class, and I am very much indebted to you all attendees for getting this book read by me. Without your help, I might not have really read it so much and try to meditate on this. So if you have any questions, we can discuss them for a few minutes. Yes, Karin.
I have a different edition than you have, and an interesting thing, instead of the word meek, it uses the word humble.
Yeah.
I like that word better, because I think of a little mouse and humble.
Yeah, it is good. You know, what happens is the language keeps on changing over the centuries. This book was originally written about 700 years ago. So you can imagine, you know, how much change. Even in my life, I have seen the English language has changed the ways the words are used. So therefore, it is the word, like the word sin, you said, you know, the original meaning is now not remembered at all. It is similarly, the word meekness means humility. But as you said, the connotation that comes is like being a mouse, you know. And mice are not necessarily meek either.
They invaded my house 1 year while we were gone.
Any other question? Yes, Richard.
Well, it always seemed to me that our situation as humans is miraculous. But this is all happening in the middle of nowhere, really. You know, planet, outer space, it's a miraculous situation being human.
It is a miraculous situation, no doubt. It's a miracle, no doubt about it. Yes, I am a human being is a miracle of God, yeah. And it is such a great grace that I got to become human. It is. Swami Vivekananda appreciated a wonderful answer that as such illiterate lady in Kashmir gave him. That he asked, well, what religion do you follow? And she said, by the wish of God, by the grace of God, I am a Muslim. So, it is That is how you feel very humbled, that it is not that I am a Muslim, it is the wish of God that has because of which I have got the fortune that I can pray, I can follow that great path of Prophet. So it is instead of Muslim, you can substitute the name of your religion. But the idea is same. It's a miracle. In a way, an example of the grace of God. It is Shankaracharya, in his celebrated book, Viveka Chudamani, The Crest Jewel of Discrimination, mentions this, that these three things are very rare, and it is the Devanugraha Hetukam. They come to you only as grace of God. And what are they? These three? That Manushyatvam. Being a human of all the species, you could have become a stone, who knows? You could have become a bigger stone on moon, who knows? It is, but God made me a human being where I have the capabilities to think and pray, Manushyatvam. And then I got the desire for liberation as thy grace. I feel that yes, I should get liberated from the clutches of these names and forms and the clutches of the desires. This desire to get liberated. And then further, I got the holy company. Somehow or other, without my making any efforts in that direction, I was blessed with holy company. What a great thing it is. And therefore, it is certainly very important that this is a miracle. And so let us, the verse further says that, thus, with all these things available as the grace of God, let me try to make best use of them. So this concludes the Tuesday summer classes for this 2016 summer. It was a very nice study, and in the summer schedule now only one program is remaining, and that is every year usually people await this program, that is the Krishna festival. So it is on coming Saturday. It is from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. So please do come for this Krishna festival.